Welcome to this week's Casturbis. If you've been paying attention, then you probably know that this is the fifth, and you'll be glad to know, final part of a long conversation between myself and James McLean, in which we explore the televisual landscape, the streaming landscape, and what Doctor Who's place is within it, if it even has one, in this stage of the 21st century, given how things are changing a lot and the show's reputation isn't as strong as it was. It isn't as the forefront of the public consciousness as it was. And we don't really know what's going on with Disney. So where is Doctor Who going? Well, that's what we're trying to find out. And this, as I say, this is the fifth part of a conversation that was already aired on our Patreon. There will be a sixth part, but for that we want your thoughts and ideas and opinions. So please get in touch with us, podcasturbis@gmail.com or editor@casturbis.co.uk, or drop us a line on social media and tell us what you think. If you're on our Patreon already, then you can reply to the previous releases of this podcast to tell us there. So last time we'd got to the point of discussing a potential outlet for Doctor Who in the form of free podcasts. And that's where we left it. So James and I will now carry on the conversation.
I mean, there's a sort of short form version of that as well. I mean, we've seen a market which has been growing in the States for very short form video television content, which you can you buy into the service, stream into the library, and it's like very short excerpts. So, you know, do you sustain it by doing something like that? Do you buy into something where you get your actors in and get 90 minutes, but it goes out, it's written and deliberately made so it can go out in like 4-minute blocks, you know, and you keep people on, you know? So I think you're right. So it's like, how do we, and this is where I think the interesting thing is in this conversation. How do you do what was done then, now?
Yeah.
Well, now is nothing like then.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting thing for Doctor Who. And it's just, there's so many more temptations now. That's the problem. You know, last year, I was big into Walking Dead. This year, not really thought about it because I'm now onto other things. And that's how things are, even for hardcore fans.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things to hardcore fan about.
On a completely different note, but in it has its similarities in terms of longevity and spin-offs. Kerry and I have just expanded our Amazon Prime subscription to Paramount Plus in order to watch the new NCIS Tony and Ziva spin-off, which is mind-blowingly, surprisingly, nothing like an NCIS. It's really good. James Darcy's in it as well. Really, really good. Surprised me how good it is. I just thought it was going to be like run-of-the-mill NCIS, but in Europe, it's completely different. And but that's a kind of like, I've watched other NCIS spin-offs, and none of them have really felt as good as the main show. Maybe a handful of seasons of other ones or whatever. Whereas this is something that really stands out. And maybe, and it's also, it's leading in terms of it's coming out before the main series comes out. Now, we've got a Doctor Who spin-off coming along, and there isn't a show that's coming straight after that. But I do wonder whether, in a new Doctor Who era, if the show's not on air and you're able to do spin-offs to then bring the show in, or if, whether it's on TV or in some other medium, I just kind of feel sometimes that, or quite often actually, that with Doctor Who and with a lot of British television, really, where there's other possibilities that haven't been embraced, I've just said it, the possibilities aren't embraced. There's, I mean, NCIS is on its, like, it's, well, I mean, when did it start? 2003? It's on its second wave of spin-offs. It's had, like, three spin-offs. It's now got another three spin-offs. Doctor Who's, like, struggled with spin-offs aside from Sarah Jane Adventures, really. And, go on.
These are just these are really weird spin-offs. Now, Sarah Jane, I get, because it was deliberately aimed at a younger audience, and they obviously felt that Elizabeth Sladen had the personality and could carry a vibe that would just sit there. And I think that was a good call. Mm-hmm. But Torchwood, this, Class, to me, there's a no-brainer here. And the only thing which I think And no, this is a no-brainer. It's just that people watch, it's like they don't feel like Doctor Who particularly, except when they put Doctor Who pieces into them, because they're not kind of what Doctor Who's about. If you want to do a Doctor Who spin-off, look at how the superhero genre works. You do a superhero with a slight twist. You do a doctor with a slight twist. You do a story. I mean, the obvious one is the Master. You do an anti-hero thing. You know, you might have to. Well, they with Missy, they did start to mellow her at the end, make her likable. You do the anti-hero thing. The Master is an obvious one. You do a Doctor Who character who is not the Doc. You know, who is another Time Lord who has another set of problems. Doing the same sort of things the Doctor does, but in a slightly different way. Now, you could argue the show just does that built in because every Doctor is slightly different. So it is almost like watching a different Time Lord do the same sort of stuff. And that is true. But if you're trying to spin that off, to me, that is how you do it.
Yeah. Big Finish have done it with the Master, haven't they? They did it with Davros a few years ago as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that to me is where that's where the interest is. And it does blow my mind, and I could be wrong, and it could be a belter, but to me, the Sea Devils and Silurians is a very limited concept. And I don't think it's ever massively resonated with fandoms, let alone larger audiences, to merit redoing in a weird way. Because it feels, without being rude, it feels like it's redoing the same issue, which is what that framework says about tension between ownership of land and sea, interchangeably, between humans and another. We've seen the Doctor do that a lot of times, and there's not much scope beyond that. To me, I'd be looking for things which have got scope rather than limited scope. Now, you could find a Master series. You get the right actor in there or the right actors if there's a regeneration. You know, I'm watching Slow Horses at the moment, only on season two. And, you know, you think of beyond that, Ashes to Ashes, House MD. Everyone loves a sly superhero, a sly anti-hero. You know, Craig, give him. I could be almost willing to bet that you might find that the Master would return and Doctor would get cancelled, because that's the sort of spin-off I think they should be thinking about, rather than, or doing something really left-wheeled, like left-field, like Cyberman or something. You know, and have a rogue Cyberman who's got to survive on Earth. You know, that would be I think that would be really interesting. From, you know, a Cyberman's perspective, who maybe has some slight memories. They did it with Bill to a degree, which I think worked quite well at the end of Capaldi's reign as the Doctor. Do that. The comics have had him have a, you know, Cyberman as a sort of almost sympathetic protagonist character. To me, that's a no-brainer. I've thought for years, have a Cyberman in the TARDIS, have that as a companion, a bit like Chameleon. Doesn't have to be in every episode, but there's so many ways you can generate spin-offs, which to me, I think have the possibility of going forward. And you could still set them on Earth. Yeah, I know a spin-off is risky, especially for things like the BBC in terms of costs. Still set on Earth. I mean, you could do one where the Master is by some higher entity. I don't know, the White Guardian, whatever, is being punished for his crimes and has to rehabilitate in London, Earth 2027, and his TARDIS is no longer works. And you reset the unit era, but for the Master. That would be interesting. And to me, that is where the show should be trying to do its spin-offs in things which, because I think the Doctor or variations of the Doctor is really the heart of what Doctor Who is. And anything that doesn't have that struggles to find its identity. And I think with Sarah Jane's Adventures, it found its identity without the Doctor. I never watched it thinking you need the Doctor. Its framework was separate. Even though you had K-9 and his occasional appearances and some of the baddies, you didn't need them. Torchwood, I felt, was a mess because it didn't really seem to ever know what it was. And it's found who it was in Children of Earth and then forgot who it was because it didn't have a set identity. It didn't know at the heart what it was. Was this really about Torchwood or was it about Captain Jack? Was this just a Buffy clone or was this something Scooby-Doo. More deeper? Or was it Scooby-Doo? It just didn't know what it was. And so it just felt like a very odd beast, which I don't think they knew what it was. I mean, the fact, you know, the first couple of seasons, you've got their base under Cardiff, which feels like a bat cave. And they've got their stupid vans where they're meant to be inconspicuous, but they've got Torchwood plastered all over them, which feels very, as you say, almost Scooby-Doo. And then you destroy all that in Children of Earth and you think, okay, the show's growing up. It knows what it is now. And then it does this bizarre American take, which again doesn't know what it was, you know, and who it is. And that's because I don't think it has any particular grounding or relevancy to its to its parent show to really give it a sense of what it's or who its market. It didn't know who its market was.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, this is meant to be a knocking Torchwood. But I think, yes. Yeah, so I think if I was to do spin-offs, which would sustain today, it would be doing variations on a theme, because the variations of a theme, you know, the theme that is popular. If they like the Doctor, they like the Doctor in the TARDIS, wait till you see the Master in the TARDIS, or wait till you see, I don't know, the paediatrician in the TARDIS. You whatever variant, no, not the paediatrician, but something, you know, you could have, I don't know, you could have someone who's just totally off kilter in there, in a different way to the Doctor running the TARDIS, yep. You know, with really ambiguous to their ethics, that are very amoral, that could swing one way or the other. That could be interesting, which isn't quite the Master, isn't quite the Doctor. There's just ways to do it. Or, as I've said before in more recent podcasts, have a load of people find a TARDIS and have them caught in it, journeying from place to place. And, you know, maybe that could be quite adult, where they, not all of them survive as they, because they're not the Doctor.
Yeah.
And it could, and they could regenerate their crew by having different people join them in different spaces as others die off. And you've got a Walking Dead scenario, a Walking Dead framework with a police box. That could be interesting. But yeah, the I think that is a problem. So if you're going to keep it going and you're thinking of spin-offs that isn't the show, I think you've got to keep it close to what the show is. And the show's just not done that yet, which is really weird in my head.
So we've got this idea of podcast audios. We've got an idea of spin-offs. I mean, you came up with this idea. So do you have some thoughts already in mind for... Is this something that you've given thought to already? Please say yes.
to the idea of the sort of people finding the TARDIS?
No, the idea of the post... Doctor Who being on telly, how does it survive until it comes back on telly? Or does it turn into a movie? Does it just continue on as a thing that pops up every now and again?
Yeah, I think that's what's so exciting about talking about these things today, is because it's just so hard to work out where everything's going to go. Mm. We know the streaming bubble is struggling. As we know, cinema is struggling in its own way.
Yeah, yeah.
Personal content and social media content thrives, but there's always a bit of me which wonders, if you lost all the other stuff, would that stuff suddenly become far more fragile and frail and just be seen? Because to me, I mean, I don't know obviously for young people, but it still feels like a lot of filler. You know, you're filling with things, but you know you've got a TV show that you can go and watch tonight and get something to be absorbed in. If you lost all that, would that be a problem? So I don't know where it's going to go. I think at the moment there's probably, I think that's, as we've said before, that's what's hindering Doctor Who. And we talked about this all the way through the Shooty Gatwa era so far, is that it's a really unknown space for the show, and it's trying to do what we were saying for years, in credit to us, that it was probably going to have to do, and that's break out the BBC into a larger market, which is what it's attempted to do. But that is a very complicated logistic, which is now kind of strangling and bottlenecking it. You know, they got Disney, which I think probably was good for the show, regardless of what people feel of it's cut off the quality. But sort of getting that global platform seems sensible if you want it to survive. But that has led to this sort of slowdown, which I don't think is good for the show. I think all parties involved would have to admit that I don't think it's great to have uncertainty because the market's just too busy that people just forget. And that's the problem. While in the 90s, early 90s, Doctor Who disappears, you've now got nothing on British television, bar maybe a terrible attempt to refill the slot with something like The Crime Traveller or Bugs, and whatever's filtering through from the American market, occasionally on Channel 4. So its absence is really notable, but now it's not.
No.
It disappears. It disappears.
I don't know if this is something that we can add to this conversation. I don't know about you, but during the 90s, I'm just looking to see if I've got one. There's various volumes by different writers, in particular Jean-Marc Lefissier, who's I think probably the first or second person we interviewed on Casterbus many, many years ago.
Oh, cool.
And the reason for that, why I was interested to interview him, I think it was just by email, was because there was no Doctor Who on television, and he obviously created two or three of these reference books, and reading them, I was having I was experiencing Doctor Who episodes that I'd never seen or that didn't exist anymore or whatever. And, you know, there's the encyclopedia, so you could, the way these books were written, there was almost a legendary element to what was written there, because there's no tangible way of, you know, you couldn't see it. And also because it wasn't on TV, so there's nothing referring back to it or whatever. It just felt like you were reading something sort of almost esoteric. There's like this secret knowledge that you were gaining about Doctor Who. And with the Virgin New Adventures as well, it felt like you were part of something that was very, very interesting, very entertaining, and that no one else was interested or entertained by. And I guess there is an element of that to Doctor Who on television now, or up until recently. But I wonder if there's a kind of, were we and the people who have come to be running Doctor Who since 2003 onwards, if we talk about when the production started, those people were all involved in that. They were referencing that or looking back at that, and that kind of that distance between the old show and what would come on along later on, is that period of renewal, is that actually something that's kind of, do we think that's something that's baked in? Is that actually going to be necessary? Is Doctor Who going to be off air for actually quite a long time, until there's actually a nostalgic desire from the kids who were 8 or 9 in 2005 through maybe till 2013, when they're in TV production and they're looking back thinking, well, we need something like Doctor Who now. It's been off air. We need to get it back on air. Are they going to be looking back at the show in that same kind of a slightly mysterious way?
But then you could almost argue it came back in 2005. Means there's 20-year-olds out there. You know, they're the potential ones. I think it's funny when I've watched some reels of younger people who look like they're sort of late teens, early 20s, and they talk about Doctor Who, and they'll say where Shooting Gatwa's era has gone wrong. And I think that's interesting, because there's always that. I mean, certainly I'm guilty of this. Well, I always say, well, yeah, the youth, this is a more young people who will get it, while us older people might not vibe with it in the same way. But it's interesting hearing them. And a lot of the time it's because it doesn't reflect their interpretation. Again, going back to where you came into the show is where you see the standard. So they remember sort of late Tennant, or maybe scary, you know, Smith being the template. And if Moffat's your template and you look at Shooty, there is a massive difference in how the writing in the show works. And so, again, it comes to going back to your point about cycles. This is that even within the show, we see cycles. And we've said this many times before, you can almost track cycles between the classic era and the new era, not just in terms of the sort of time that passes and how you start to see the grumbles come in and the audience numbers start to drop as well, but also in kind of the choices for the doctors become a little more radical at the back end, a little more sort of trying to do different things because trying to bounce off the previous. And you almost feel like you can see Whittaker as a Davison compared to sort of Capaldi sort of more traditional zaniness. And then you can look at you can see these sort of lines. I suppose you could see it the other way around, I suppose, but that's probably the problem with this. Capaldi is almost like the Colin Baker to a degree, maybe. I don't know, who cares with this? But the point being is you can see these sort of tensions of the show trying to continually perpetuate itself against harder times, and the decisions not always working maybe in the same way as they would have, or being as well received as they would have been earlier. Because like anything, eventually everything loses its spark. It has to.
Yes.
As we've said before, surgeons wouldn't be able to operate if eventually you didn't become acclimatized to things. You know, if the body, every time you looked at it, was just the same as when you first looked at the body, you know, open body, you wouldn't be able to do your job. You've got to be able to acclimatize to it. And the same with TV. We eventually acclimatize, which is what I've always felt when people sort of say, oh, this later episode is trash. And I think, yeah, put that later episode into an earlier Doctor when you thought it was great. You'd have probably thought it was great back then, but you've now got a different perspective because the shine's come off it. So you're not seeing it in the same sparkly way. But going back to your point, you know, it does is the break a natural thing, and can it be a healing point for the show to a degree where it sort of recuperates? Possibly. I think the question is I don't think we can assume that cycle is permanent, because it's almost like saying, you know, running on ice is always going to be permanent when eventually the ice can melt. You know, you can keep running and keep breathing and stopping, but if the terrain changes, you can't perpetuate that same movement. So the question is, if it goes, does it just get lost to the plethora of stuff which is out there, which will be in the people's memories, and they might want to return? Show which is even now still a callback to an era of television that worked very, very differently. So I think some of the ways it could sustain itself, which I would probably be thinking about if as a backseat driver, as I'm going to be, would be seeding. So by seeding, which is a word that I have just made up for this context, obviously seeding occurs in various other contexts, but I'm thinking about how you take the IP, and we've seen it done with Lego, and farm it out to products to sustain its memory. So you become a little more loose with the IP, so it becomes something which can be folded into other things.
Okay.
Spin-offs, tie-ins, merchandise, that just keeps that memory alive while the show is not so visible. And I think that can be quite a good way to find ways of just fighting the memory loss of it by continually just planting the core sort of IP elements, those things which people, the triggers, into other various products which will benefit from it because they want to do something bigger or vast or zany. So video games, I mean, going back to Japan's done this for a long time for different reasons, but the reuse of characters and IPs in different products, food, magazines, selling stuff, video games, and you'll see characters from various different IPs, especially in video games, appearing in sort of Smash stuff. That's what I think Doctor Who needs to do, is to try and find ways to keep itself there in some way or another and to allow itself to exist. I think that's a good way to alongside other ways of doing it. But I think, yeah, you've got to let go a little bit on the IP a bit, and maybe that's the place with fandoms as well, is to sort of give the fandoms incentives to sort of perpetuate the IP. Is that somewhere? I don't know. I think we've got to think of it in a market where you don't have clear pathways. And I think the pathways in the early 90s were very clear, even if they'd not been done before. Because I would still say the Doctor Who adventures for the Virgin did. I can't think of any other franchise, maybe outside of Star Trek, that had really sort of adapted itself to a different medium as a spin-off in quite that way, that was not antithetical to what Doctor Who was as a TV show, but certainly broadened. What the possibilities of Doctor Who was as a TV show. And I don't think even the Star Trek novels, and there were quite a few at the time, were doing that with the original Star Trek novels. So that, while that was a clear pathway that it could go from TV show to book, how it did that was quite different to how I think we had imagined shows would do that. And it became a very much more adult, and as you say, and I'll use this term, fan closure, which I have just coined. I don't know whether it exists elsewhere, but it's sort of like where fans once again kind of almost reclaim that space which had become public consumption, because no one really outside of nerdy fans were reading the new adventures.
No,
it wasn't like the 5 million people watching Doctor Who were now going over. As you say, it became very much back down to grassroots. Yeah, and that was exciting. I remember just being excited because you just didn't know where those novels were going to go. No. And that it was, I relished that time. And I think when it was some of our early podcasts when we talked about this, I think that was one of the things I said is, you know, that was an era which I actually enjoy, perhaps my memory of that more than any other era. It was an era of largely Sylvester McCoy ran Doctor Who books, which were wild, dangerous and edgy. And as a young person, that was exciting.
Yeah, it was. So we're going to get to us wrapping this up in a moment, but I'm just intrigued as to, because I really like the what you've been just saying there about fan closure and the other stuff, but the BBC is not going to do that, is it? we're being quite optimistic about all of this, but the BBC has over the years had a very tight leash on Doctor Who. It's not going to do any of these things, I don't think.
And that's again part of the equation, isn't it? That's part of the problem. But then a lot of IPs wouldn't. But then it's going to be a question from here on. This goes back to what we said last week. There's nothing like Doctor Who. Nothing that sustains 60 years like this. That is a product of a mode of watching TV, which, let's face it, in 2005 hadn't changed that much by that point either. People were still watching TV and looking for it. Saturday nights were still kind of family nights.
Yep.
A lot of houses only had two televisions or so. They weren't we weren't using phones all the time to watch content. No. So it was kind of a similar model, different, but it was still similar-ish.
You're getting TARDIS odes on your phone maybe, but that's as far as streaming Doctor Who went.
Absolutely, yeah. It was still very much the TV show as it was back in the 60s in a weird way. Not quite the same, but in a weird way to where we are now. And I think every franchise at the moment is going to struggle to work out how it perpetuates. And we, before we came onto this call, saying that with Star Wars, with the Mandalorian and Grogu, which I was reading some of the comments to the trailer yesterday, and it was interesting to see how lukewarm they were, because as you identified, the sort of style and the mood, and maybe let's call it the quality of it, felt, or the narrative of it certainly felt uncertain. And again, I think Disney's in a position with that, it's like, where do we go with this franchise? You know, where do we take it? It'll be interesting to see whether they try and do another Andor, not obviously Andor season 3, because we know that's not going to happen. That's Rogue One. But something within that sort of framework of style, is that something which audiences look for in television? But if they do, and as we know, that costs a hell of a lot. Are they willing to, is it the same with television all the time? Yeah, you could do it again, but would it get any more numbers than a cheaper thing of the same, do I do something really expensive when the same numbers would come to something cheaper, which is obviously where reality TV massively hit off in the 90s. So it's because, got a model of very cheap television here, which gets millions of viewers and we don't have to spend too much money. So, I think Star Wars is that same struggle. And I'm not sure what the answer is. I know people go, AI will make things cheaper. And it's like, but I think AI has a curse to it, as I've said before, that people don't get any creative satisfaction out of it. So I think that is a space where it has to be subtle rather than prolific.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that's, I think we'll come back to AI. In future, inevitably, almost. And of course, we'll come back to Doctor Who in future as well. But I'm very interested to know what you think in terms of, is Doctor Who going to be having a break? Is that what you think is going to happen? Is there something you'd like to see the BBC do with Doctor Who to prolong it with James's seeding thing or something similar? Is it there another... Do you think Doctor Who audio podcasts dropping into your phone every week, is that the future of Doctor Who for you until it comes back on TV? Let us know. Drop us some messages underneath this where you find this video or podcast, or email me at podcasterbus.com. That's not the... What's the email? Podcasterbus.com, no. Email me at podcasterbus@gmail.com. That's it. Thank you. Yes, that's the one. There's so many email addresses to remember. And that we'll wrap it up there. And so thanks for watching, and we'll speak to you again soon. Cheers.